Good morning, everybody.
The Bethlehem candle. The second candle of Advent reminds us to prepare our hearts for Jesus. Although Joseph and Mary had to get many things ready for their journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be counting in the census, they willingly went, even though Mary's time to deliver was close and the journey would not be easy. They willingly went. We should be just as willing to follow after Jesus wherever he sends us.
Though we may not always understand how God plans to use us to bring him glory and bless others, we can trust that his plan is always perfect. May we always be as willing as Joseph and Mary to submit to God's plan for our lives.
But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Micah 5:2.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you that you methodically planned this out for our salvation. The God of heaven who created this universe has taken time out for each and every one of us. We thank you for your mercies and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, like I said, it's good to be with church family. And if you're here and you normally don't go to church here, we welcome you. Always, not just today, but always. And anyway, I wanted to mention that, first of all, my wife is so organized, she scares me sometimes. She just had a birthday. And she's looking at me like I better not say any more. But anyway, Linda Moot and Cheryl Wells' dad is here today. Bob Cannon. We got to help celebrate his 93rd birthday last night, and that was awesome. So anyway, with that being said, you know, one of the things I noticed nowadays is you hardly ever hear Merry Christmas anymore. When we're out and about, you hear a lot of, you know, Happy Holidays and things like that. But I'm going to give you the opportunity to look at your neighbor and say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all of you. I'm going to share some of my thoughts with you this morning. And there's always a process that takes place preparing to share. Because, of course, we want to always make sure that it's scripture-based. And a lot of this story has to do with my own journey. And I actually gave it a title that Jesus is the reason. I didn't put Jesus as the reason for the season because Jesus is the reason. I wrote, there is always a lot of activity this time of year. For some, it's all about shopping and finding the perfect gift for family and friends. I hear people saying Happy Holidays a lot. I very seldom hear people saying Merry Christmas. I see signs that read Merry Xmas. Xmas trees for sale. TV commercials are always focused on Black Friday sales and the like. While I was doing this, an Ace Hardware commercial popped up on my phone. And it said that they are decking their halls with good deals. It's obvious to me that society has been trying for years to take Christ out of the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas is about the birth of God's Son, Jesus. It is about how he came to give us love, hope, and joy. That message doesn't change from year to year. It always stays the same. When there is so much bad news and devastation in the world, this is good news worth celebrating. Christmas is not a holiday that we as Christians celebrate a few times out of the year. Christmas is something we should celebrate all year round. Deb and I have a sign hanging on our fence in our yard. It's actually been there for several years now. And every Christmas year, I would take it out of the garage and stick it out in the lawn for everybody to see. And at the end of Christmas, I would take it up and put it away. But one year, I just couldn't put it away anymore. I just felt like I needed it out there to share with other people. And because of me doing that, I actually, when I'm out in the front yard sometimes, I get people's responses and comments about it. And a couple of months ago, a man noticed it out there and he says, isn't it a little early for Christmas? And I go, what are you talking about? And he goes, you got that Christmas sign out there on your fence. And so anyway, I was able to share with him that that my wife and I are Christians, and we celebrate Christmas all year round. It never stops. We get to celebrate it every day. Looking back over the years, I can remember times where the true meaning of Christmas was very, very blurred to me as well. I could only see things from a world's perspective. There were different times where God was clearly trying to show me the path that I was traveling on would eventually lead to destruction. It's as if God set crossroads in front of me. It was time to make a decision, to decide. I'm just glad he didn't stop putting those crossroads there. Because even when I went further and further, at some point he would give me another opportunity to change direction. And it became obvious to me if I kept going the way I was going that some bad things were going to happen. So I continued down that same path. I just kept going, even knowing that the crossroads and the warnings were there. I continued straight ahead into danger. Proverbs 14:2 says, those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise him. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a path before each person that seems right, but ends in death. The path that seems right may offer me many options and require a few sacrifices. Easy choices should make us take a second look. Don't be enticed by apparent shortcuts that seem right but end in death. I was in my early 30s when God really started to get my attention. I actually began to see Jesus bumper stickers everywhere. Actually, you hardly ever see that anymore. But not only that, there was actually a road I used to travel a lot. There was a big redwood stump there that I had never noticed in the previous years that there was a sign there that actually said Jesus on it. And all of a sudden, I started seeing all this stuff that I never saw before. I thought I was going crazy. But looking back at it, God was trying to get my attention. That was a crossroad, and that actually was the turning point for me. And Deb was working with a guy at Tri-City Newspaper. She worked there for 10 years, and he kept inviting our family to come to this little Southern Baptist church at Sunnybrae. And actually, that's where I came to know the Lord. There, I gave my heart to the Lord, got baptized there with my whole family. Special time. But anyway, I can see the progression of when I made a decision not to continue down that road of destruction and begin. Now, God was showing himself to me. I just needed to change direction and follow his direction. And in that process, he actually put people in our lives that made such a difference. They invested in us. I can remember Jim and Susie Bushnell invested in us. I know that the Halls know them very well. Actually, Susie's gone to heaven now. And then there was another couple named Gil and Edna Bartell that took us in like we were their own children. And they didn't have much, but they gave a lot. And that investment in our lives at that period where God was working, God was showing himself to us. And those people investing in us to the point where at some point that investment meant that we had to launch at some time and actually start using the tools that they taught us. So anyway, that's what I'm hoping for this church here, that when people come here that we're investing in people. We see people as an investment, that we show them love and compassion and just be there for them. Makes such a difference. Several months ago, I was called over to help a person in need that was having problems with his hearing aids. Rhonda, do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Now I'm a hearing aid repair guy, too. I didn't know that was going to happen, but it did. Got to be ready in season, out of season. So while I was there, it became an opportunity to ask this elderly man if he ever had asked Jesus into his heart. He said he had, but he didn't feel anything. Well, I want you to know right now, it's not about a feeling. I let him know it wasn't about a feeling, but it was about a decision. See, that's the way it was for me when I finally gave my heart to the Lord. I had to make a decision. I wasn't waiting for a feeling to happen. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in their case, the god of this world, and we're talking about Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The word gospel means good news. It's a message of forgiveness for sin through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It is essentially God's rescue plan of redemption for those who will trust in his divine Son in order to be reconciled to a just and holy God. Redemption means the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. The reason we need a rescue plan is explained in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. That means all of us. We all need to be rescued. We should never minimize sin. Sin causes a separation between us and God, but they can all be forgiven. That's the good news. Thank you, Jesus. So the question is, why did Jesus come to earth? Jesus came to fulfill the law. Matthew 5:17 says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus came to call sinners. Luke 5:32 says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's all of us at one point. You might be a person here today that fits that category. You might be lost, but I want you to know there's good news. Jesus came to the world. Jesus came that the world might be saved. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus came to give abundant life. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came so believers may not remain in darkness. John 12:46 says, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in darkness. Isn't that good news? The summary for John 12:44 through 50 is the last public statement Jesus makes prior to his crucifixion. This is a sincere plea to the people. Jesus summarizes his purpose and states that he alone provides the means of salvation. I don't have a long message today because we have a lot going on, but I hope that really touches your heart. And I wouldn't end this without saying that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I walked in the world for years, and the more I tried to fix my messes, the bigger they got. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus is a mess fixer. He fixes messes. And there's still messes in my life that he's working on. But see, I have to participate. I have to be a participant in that. So anyway, I'm going to have Matthew, my second cousin, play a song for us. But first of all, I want to read the first part of the lyrics in the song. A family hiding from the storm found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born to save a world so cold and hollow. The sleepy town they did not know, a Savior King who had no home, has come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? God bless you.
Family hiding from the storm found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born to save a world so cold and hollow. A sleeping town they did not know, that lying in a manger low. A Savior King who had no home has come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? Shepherds counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in his sight. God has come to raise the lowly. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Make room in your heart. Promise tight, every wrong will be made right. The road is straight, the burden's light. For in his hands he holds tomorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Make room in your heart. Make room.
kids have worked really hard for 2-3 months now, and they have a performance that they want to give you. Lord, we love you, and we love these children, and God, we know that you are going to, they're going to give you a message, and it'll touch every single one of you in a different way, but in a perfect way, and it'll be from each of these kids to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Everybody say joy, joy. Everybody say joy, joy. Everybody say joy, joy. Everybody say joy to the world.